Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener shares about the spirits that follow her through life and insight into the types of spirits and their intent. A medium shares a message with a listener pertaining to a secret that would be impossible for anyone else to know. And a mother and daughter find inexplicably waking up at 3 a.m. to be part of their normal routine. But there are some alarming activities happening when they awake. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I thought it was interesting to see the past handful of days. Everyone probably is aware of this by now, but in case you're not, remember the Charlie thing? The thing we were talking about on the EPP episode the other day and how I thought it was just pretty much complete BS?
The pencil thing.
It's complete BS.
Yeah.
It was actually a very well-placed viral campaign for an upcoming movie.
Hmm.
So somebody put it out there like, oh, look at this. And then, you know, got all the kids to start doing it because they you know, they're gullible.
Uh-huh.
And they started doing it. And of course, the pencil's going to move. Like I said, it's going to move no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
It was all part of a camp. But hey, it's it got people, I guess, you know, excited about something to do with this movie. I don't know what movie it is.
I don't know.
So I guess the marketing on that point maybe wasn't all so great. But we're aware there's a spooky movie coming out now.
Yeah.
That's one of those I think, slight oversteps in marketing when you have a real genius idea that can spread
mm-hmm.
and get everybody talking about it. This happens all the time, even outside of that challenge thing, where people just, they know the idea. They talk about the idea. The idea seldomly has a whole lot to do or is super connected to whatever it's trying to advertise, or the link is not strong enough for the end user to remember.
Uh-huh.
And that seems to be kind of what has happened here with that Charlie challenge. Everyone will remember the Charlie challenge or whatever the hell it's called.
Uh-huh.
But no one, 2 years from now, will recall what movie it was necessarily connected to.
Well, maybe not. Maybe there's a movie coming out called Charlie or something like that.
And maybe.
This is just to make everybody familiar with the game behind the premise of the movie. So maybe it's something we just don't know yet.
I think the movie name has been released. I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
And that's one of those things where I didn't pay enough attention to know what mm-hmm. it is. But it was, and I think that's kind of, you know, how most people are feeling. It's like, oh, Charlie, oh, it's just a movie. Okay. What movie was it? I don't know. So the advertising, the gimmick didn't necessarily do its deed of getting people, oh, that movie. So when the movie actually does make a appearance, like, oh, okay, oh, yeah, that, now I get it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to share a real ghost story with us, we would love to hear it. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your ghost stories to us on the show. We'll kick it off today with a letter from Mourn. And Warren writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your show for a few months now, and I'm currently trying to catch up on your backlog of shows. A very happy EPP and love the show and what it does for people. I figured it's my turn to get my feet wet as I've had a long history with and almost daily interactions with the supernatural. I'm what your show is referred to as a sensitive. I can see and communicate with beings, human and non-human alike, through my mind's eye, or some call it a second sight. This simply means that I can detect, view, depending on how the spirit wants to be perceived, and speak with spirits that wish to be spoken with. Sorry if that's confusing. It's never been easy to explain, and I'm not normally very open about it. For a few select people, with this ability, I have encountered many entities from what I now understand to be the four major categories. You have your ghosts, spirits of humans, demons, dark creatures of the void, angels, divine spirits of higher powers, and then there are natural spirits, spirits of the wind, elements, and other sorts that tend to take a more neutral stance in the world. These spirits from other planes of existence can come in many different forms depending on their skills, alignments, and personalities, which explains why so many people see so many different kinds of spirits. I've had a multitude of encounters in my life, from the very brief sighting to full conversations. I've even managed to befriend a small group of different spirits, never demons, from angels who are almost always by my side, to a few ghosts and neutral spirits. I'll talk more about them in later stories, if you're interested, but today I want to talk about my childhood. One of my first memories is from when I was very young, around the age of 2 or 3. I remember lying awake at night in my bed with the lights off in my room and not being able to sleep because from across the room and under my dresser, there were these yellow glowing eyes that would stare at me from within the darkness. This was one of the many nights that I can remember these eyes watching me, always from under the dresser. I'd spend many nights hiding under my sheets because I could not sleep knowing these eyes were watching me. As I got older, around the age of 5 or 6, I became aware of a second pair of now blue eyes located within the darkness of my closet. It would not matter if I went to bed with the closet door closed. At some point within the night, I'd simply find that the closet door had been slid open, and these eyes would be watching. During these years, it was not uncommon for me to be found asleep in the upstairs hallway as close to my parents' locked bedroom door as I could be. I spent many years with these two sets of eyes watching me as I slept. I knew very well that they weren't good and intended to harm me if they could. But yet, they never got any closer to me as I slept. I'd find out many years later that I had a set of 6 guardian angels that would stand guard around my bed and kept these eyes at bay. I do not remember when the third pair of eyes, his glowing, hateful red head, appeared, but around 10 years old, I started to notice it at night. Unlike the other eyes, these red eyes didn't seem to be limited to one location and would be spotted within different locations of my room, hallways, or stairs. Shortly after the arrival of the red eyes, I started to notice that all 3 sets of eyes were now mobile and appeared to follow me to different locations, even as I grew into my teens and started to not see them with my eyes. I still knew they followed me, always just outside of reach or hiding within the shadows. These 3, what I would later be informed, were a class of lesser demon known as shades, followed me until my late teens, right around the time I was starting college. At this time, I became aware of a new entity, an angel who I later learned to address as Russell. He's very protective of me and rarely leaves my side. I do not know what entirely happened to the shades with the glowing colored eyes. All I was ever told by my companions that follow me was that these demons were dealt with shortly after Russell's appearance, and I haven't seen them since. Sorry this story was a tad long, but I feel there were some strange things that needed explaining. Really love your show. You two have managed from a once a month to a many times a week broadcast. If you would like, I have many more stories of encounters with the friendly, dangerous, and sometimes just really weird. I'll even let Jenny pick if she would rather hear a rather creepy story from years ago or a rather unexpected and sometimes comical ongoing encounter we have with a child spirit that is currently following my wife and I. Keep up the good work, you guys. You keep me sane, and I drive around my delivery route and play your podcast off my phone. Mourn.
I would love to hear the child spirit stories.
That would be a good piece of variety.
Yeah, it would be. Just a little different change of pace.
Yeah, it's fun to hear some of those stories. It kind of like, what was the Sarah stories, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those were fun.
Those were fun.
So if you have anything like that, we'd love to hear it. And we'd love to hear the other ones, too.
Yeah, definitely.
But there you go.
I think that even if I knew there were angels protecting me from the eyes in my room, that would still really, really bother me. I don't think I would ever get used to it, no matter how many years there were eyes in my room watching me.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, I guess it has to do with the relationship that you have with the spirits.
Yeah.
And how much you trust them to be protecting you. And I would always be a little bit skeptical,
mm-hmm.
but I guess, you know, I'm not that person, so it's hard to be in that position of understanding where they're at mentally, but that would always be creepy.
Yeah.
I could never quite get over. I'd always be wondering, well, what if the protective angel needed to take a break?
Sure.
You know, what if something happened? You know, I don't know. Interesting story though. So thank you for sharing. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. To share your real ghost story with us. Nancy writes in, hello, Jenny and Tony. I've been a listener for a while now and became an EPP after listening to the first couple of episodes. I've only got one ghost story, but it sure scared the crap out of me. My grandmother passed away in 1994, and I miss her so much. She was my favorite person in the world. And since my mom, her daughter died the day I was born, I was especially close to her. It was a blessing that she lived a long life, but when she died, I was devastated. In 2003, the radio station that I listened to at the time was having a medium come in on a Sunday evening. And if you wanted a reading, you could send an email request. If you were chosen, they'd contact you. Well, I was chosen, and even though I've always been afraid of things that go bump in the night, I thought I'd give this a try to see if he could contact my grandma. To give you just a little history of her, she always believed in spirits and didn't have a fear of them. She knew that I did have a fear, and I'd always said that after she was gone one day, I didn't want her coming back to visit me, as I wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd always laugh about it. So my night comes to speak with a medium. The station called me late at night, around 11:30 p.m., and I was home alone. When he came on the phone, he asked me who I wanted to contact, and I told him, and started telling me how she has a great sense of humor, love to eat, etc., all things that were true about Grandma, but could have applied to anybody also. Then he asked, what's this about the green ice cream? That really shocked me, and I answered him, that's not her, that's me. This was before I was married and I lived alone. Nobody knew this at all, but every single night before bed, I had a bowl of ice cream, one scoop of pistachio, one scoop of chocolate mint, both green. So when he asked that, I couldn't believe it. After I said that it didn't pertain to her, but to me, he said that my grandma said it was okay for me to do that, but not every night, and that she was laughing. And he went on to say how she was proud of me and a lot of other loving things. Okay, so the call ends. I told my brothers and sisters and in-laws who live in another state that I was going to be talking with a medium that night, and I'd call as soon as it was over. So I called them, and they each were on different phones in their house so they could both hear my story. I was going on and on about what the medium said, and when I was about to finish, I said, well, I don't know if it was real or not, but no sooner had I gotten the word but out, I heard a very, very loud noise coming out of my bedroom, and they could hear it on the phone also. I immediately realized that it was the TV in my bedroom. It had come on all by itself and full blast. Even though Grandma and I had an arrangement that she'd never come back and scare me, I think that given the fact that I was even starting to doubt after the green ice cream thing, that she figured she needed to send me a message loud and clear. To be honest, it scared the crap out of me, and I had to sleep with the lights on for a few nights after that. I knew it had been her, and she meant no harm, but it just really scared me. I can laugh about it now, and it's really comforting to know she's still there in spirit. There were unexplained things that happened with my phone right after she died, and looking back, I'm sure it was her trying to contact me and let me know she was okay. So that's my story. I'm really enjoying your show and all the EPP bonus episodes. I'd like to encourage everyone out there who is also hooked on your show to become an EPP, since $5 per month is really not much at all to help keep Real Ghost Stories on the air. Thank you for allowing me to share my story, Nancy.
I would eat pistachio and mint ice cream, too. Those are my two favorite flavors.
What an interesting thing to communicate.
Well, it's one of those things that only would make sense to her, to Nancy, and mm-hmm. that nobody else would know. So it was an easy way to make a, you know, to make the whole encounter with the medium legit.
Okay.
The grandmother's standpoint. Because green ice cream is kind of an obscure thing. That's not something that everybody would have something, a story like, oh yeah, everybody's got a green ice cream story.
Yeah, that really isn't one.
No.
That you would just kind of pick up on. That's interesting that that she knew about the green ice cream to bring that up and to think, oh, I need to pick something that's not just going to be kind of brushed off as, oh, I think that's grandma, but I'm not quite sure.
It could pertain to anybody. That definitely could only pertain to her.
Because I was trying to picture green ice cream in my head, and like nothing came to my mind until pistachio. I'm like, oh yeah, pistachio, that's kind of green.
And then the mint with yeah. the chocolate chunks.
Sure. The only one I can think of is like the green and the rainbow sherbet.
Oh, uh-huh.
But that's sherbet.
Yeah.
What is sherbet?
I don't really know.
What is the difference between sherbet? I know there's the flavor difference, uh-huh. but is it made differently? Is it a different, it seems to have a similar texture.
Yeah, I don't really know. I've never been a sherbet person.
My dad's always been a sherbet person, and I've never been like, sherbet, yay.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things when I was a kid. He'd be like really excited, like, I wanted ice cream, mm-hmm. you know, you get a treat of something. It's like, all right, ice cream. Like, you know, he's getting something out of the freezer, and it's like, oh, sherbet, yay. He's kind of do the obligatory, yay, okay, great. But you're really secretly kind of like, oh, I wish that was vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream or something, but all right, sherbet. Some people just love their sherbet.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Jen writes in, I've had many paranormal experiences in my life. Most of them happened in my preteen or teenage years. However, I do still have experiences from time to time. I'll share a few short stories right now and write in more later. Before I start, I just wanted to say you guys are awesome. A coworker told me about your podcast, and now I listen for about 5 hours each workday. Anyway, as I was saying before, I experienced a lot of paranormal things growing up at my parents' house in New Jersey. I went through a phase, probably a full year or two, where I would always wake up at 3 a.m. almost every single night. I usually just woke up, noticed the time, and fell back asleep. Occasionally, though, I would hear things. Feel things, experience sleep paralysis, etc. Anyway, this particular story happened when I was a freshman in high school. I went to sleep as usual, woke up at 3 a.m., and went back to sleep. Nothing that abnormal. But when I woke up, that's what really freaked me out. My alarm went off, and I stepped out of bed. But to my confusion, my pajama pants were gone. This was really weird because at this point in my life, I had never went to bed without pants, and would not have taken them off in the night. My PJ pants were on the floor of my room next to my door. So even if I had taken them off, I would have had to throw them across the room. The part that freaked me out the most was that my legs had teal-colored marker marks on them. Maybe about 4 or 5 lines in random places on my legs. I was super freaked out and told my mother. She laughed and said I probably just left a marker in my bed and fell asleep. Except I didn't have that color marker, and I never used them, let alone in my bed. I continued to wake up around 3 a.m. for a long time. I'd hear this super loud crashing noise a lot. My mother would tell me it was just something falling in the shower. I never questioned this when I was young. I'd hear it and think something fell and go back to sleep. But after listening to your podcast and rethinking my experiences, I realized that doesn't make any sense. Our shampoo bottles were on a shelf that had a railing around it, so it would have been almost impossible for something to fall. I also never noticed anything on the floor of the shower when I got up in the morning. I'd sometimes notice my mother would be awake at 3 a.m. too. Whenever I would ask her what she was doing, she'd say she couldn't sleep and was saying a rosary. I tell her how I would always wake up at this time and that it was an evil hour. She's a devout Catholic and corrected me, saying that it was not evil, it was actually the holiest hour because that is the time Jesus died. She told me if I woke up then, it just meant someone needs me to pray for them. Now, as I look back at my experiences, I wonder if Mom was woken up by the same things and me and refused to admit it to me. Thanks for reading my story. I'll write back with some more interesting ones.
I think Mom was a little confused on her 3 o'clocks.
Yeah.
So that, or she was purposely telling you that to not scare you, but that's backwards.
Yeah.
So.
Which is why 3 a.m. is traditionally viewed as the evil of the side of the hours. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
So, interesting story. What do you think? Do you think Mom was doing anything? You think Mom was just haunted by some of these things?
I think there was just something haunting both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Mom was doing anything bad by any means in this story.
Okay.
I just think that it was something that was affecting both of them. And I think the mom was trying to tell little white lies to get it to not be a scary situation for Jen. But now that you're a grown up and you're writing in, that's not a good thing to wake up at 3 a.m.
But that's, I don't blame Mom.
Yeah.
for telling it at that time.
Yeah.
Did they mention if Mom was still around? Is Mom still around?
Around now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to ask Mom about that. And hey, remember when this happened? Were you just telling me that? Or what was really going on? And see if there was more that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
As far as experiences that she was having at that point in time.
Yeah.
You know? Probably stuff you don't want to know, but it would connect some of the dots better.
Yeah.
So try that and let us know what you find out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Let's go to a caller. Let's go over to Walter. Hi.
Hi, my name's Walter. I'm calling in regards to, I left you a story about what happened once with my girlfriend and I, where she levitated across the bed and was speaking to me in a different language that I believe is dead and was cursing at me. I'm calling in regards to tell you guys about the story, the whole gist of how it all started. Well, it started back when my mom was a teenager. Her and her girlfriend were down in Arizona, and there was this rather large swap meet that was in an old airplane hangar, and it was full to the gill with antiques. Well, them being teenagers and being rebellious, they decided to steal a little notebook, a pipe, and a set of glasses, and along with a flask. It was all in like a little package deal. They got home and they decided that they were going to smoke some of that funny stuff and hang out. And in doing so, they opened up the book and started reading it. And it was a diary of a gentleman who was in the late 1800s, his confessions of killing people. And they freaked out and closed it. And right about that time, my mother's girlfriend's father was banging on the door asking what they were doing in there. So they threw everything under the pillow and hid it, answered him. And when he decided to leave the father, they went back, yanked the pillow up off the stuff, and proceeded to watch the notebook disintegrate right there in front of them, along with the pipe. And the glasses were gone, and along with the flask. It was neither the glasses or the flask were anywhere in sight. And about a week later, my mom went down to a southern church with her husband at the time, my dad, and he took her there. And in the middle of the church, the pastor jumps up, freaking out on a holy roller spill, comes up to my mom, the church is being quiet, and proceeds to tell my mom that she is pregnant, she's going to have 2 boys, one's going to die, and that the older son is going to carry a curse for his whole life and be haunted by something that's going to be haunting her because she had taken something that had belonged to a very bad person. Well, my mom thought really nothing of it other than this guy's a quack, and they left the church. Well, needless to say, my mom was haunted for quite a few years, about 30 years. And, my life, I was there along with her and was involved in some of it. It wasn't really directed at me. And then eventually it started to come my way. So I'll call back with more stories about how I guess I took on that curse. And like I said, I already left you one message about what's going on, but I'll start to put them in chronological order for you guys. And that way, when you guys get the stories, you'll know, oh, this is the first event that happened in Walter's life that coincided with the story that happened with his mom. All right, guys, thank you so much. Love your show, and I keep up on it quite regularly. You guys are fantastic. You guys have a fantastic marriage, and I just hope the best for you both. Thank you. Bye.
The events of Walter's life.
I think it's interesting.
I'm excited to hear these.
I am too, and there is a perfect reason why you don't take things that don't belong to you, even if the person is dead.
Yeah, that's, I think, a good rule to follow. Or the dead person.
Yeah.
As we hear sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in hearing what exactly transpired as the curse moved on from the mom to him. I was a little disappointed, like, as we're listening to the call, because I was really starting to get in. All of a sudden, and I'll tell you more in another call. Ah!
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay. Let's hear the calls and the stories, and this could probably be an ongoing story.
I think it'd be good.
I'm excited to hear it, so please do share. Of course, if you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go over to Ross. Hi.
Hi. My name is Ross, and I'm from Toronto. There was an interesting experience that happened in my house a while back. About last year, like in July... Early July, my family went on a vacation, and I was the only one left in the house. So I had my friend over, and I recently acquired like a PSB7 spirit box for the house, or for myself to do investigations. And we went into the basement because in our basement we have this really creepy bathroom that has this, like, there's this very thin hallway that it just doesn't lead anywhere. It's like this very, very thin, like you could barely fit in it. We just, there's some garbage and stuff in there, like old, I think there's like an old vacuum or something, but it's too thin for anyone to fit into, so it's just really, really creepy. And so we were doing a spirit box session in my bathroom, and we asked the question, is anybody there? And of course we got no answer for the first little bit, but we didn't give up. We kept trying. We were like, all right, let's go around, explore the house a little bit, see if we can get anything with our EMF. And then what was creepy is we heard like footsteps coming like from upstairs. Our top floor, we were on our middle floor, and then we were like, okay, that's creepy, and we decided to go back downstairs again into the bathroom, and we asked the question again, is anybody there? And we didn't get anything again. So then I decided to ask, what is your name? And what we got was a clear it was recorded, but we got a clear answer that said, Chloe. And then we looked at each other and we were like, oh my God, this is insane. And we asked, do you know how old you were when you died? And the same voice again, like clear as day, said, not sure, don't know. And so that was insane. So eventually we kept looking around and stuff, and I looked up the house's history and stuff, but no one named Chloe has ever lived here, so I don't know if that was just a spirit passing by or something, but yeah. That was a pretty crazy experience. So, there you go. And, yeah. Thanks for listening to my creepy ghost story. Have a good night or day. I don't know. Yeah, that's all. Bye.
Okay, there we go. Now we got it taken care of.
Okay, bye.
All right. thank you for calling in and sharing that that story with us. What do you make of the ghost that doesn't know their own whereabouts?
They're probably pretty confused and maybe still trying to figure out the fact that they are dead.
Okay.
And, you know, it could be a case of, you know, it hasn't been that long since they died, so they're still dealing with that. Or it's been so long that maybe they don't remember a lot.
I would be that ghost that's like, yeah, somebody asked me a question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Find my ghost wife around here somewhere. She can probably answer it for you.
I have no idea how old I am, so ask my wife.
Yeah, I really don't know. When's your birthday? I don't know. I don't remember anymore. That's how I would be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was almost something that was going through my mind when he was saying that of, you know, the ghost not knowing. What was the question? How it died or when it died?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not able to answer them, like, well, is this a human ghost or, you know. I was starting to wonder if it was going to go down a dark path or something, but it seemed to just kind of be like a confused ghost.
Yeah, and he didn't say that there was any other activity going on other than just some creepy feelings.
Sure. So I'm going to go with probably just confused.
Yeah.
I suppose if you can be confused in life, you can be confused in death.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that actually goes away, unfortunately. So let's go to another caller. 855-853-4802 is our number. Marcos.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Marcos Bettencourt from San Mateo, California. Love your guys' show. Keep doing what you're doing. I listen to it every day along with all my other wrestling podcasts and movie and shows. So my ghost story happens between 2009 to 2013. I used to work at Oracle as a graveyard security officer, and that shift would start 11 to 7 in the morning. At Oracle, they had 6 buildings on the main campus. Then they had 1 building and an off-site OPL. And then next to that, they had 3 other buildings, 401, 501, and 601. Now, I was a regular security guard and would normally stay at 1 or 2 buildings. And since it was from 11 at night till 7 in the morning, there was a bunch of times where I would walk through the building and just kind of get a real eerie feeling and kind of just staying up through that 3 o'clock hour just the whole night. I would always kind of like, when I'm doing rounds in the building, I'd hear like fingers on keyboards for the computers as I'm walking by podiums or office spaces where there wasn't really anybody around. And I'd walk through a bunch of buildings and hear a bunch of creaking, and you know, you just kind of hear it over and over through the years and you just kind of write it off. It's not really anything, just a bunch of noise. And about 2 years after working there, my boss comes up to me and he's like, yeah, would you like to be a driver now? I was like, driver, sure, you know, with, you know, I'm like thinking, you know, more money, more opportunities for sure. So my first week, I transitioned into driver, and now I'm not doing security in the buildings that I was when I was just a roving officer. Now I'm in the truck and I'll go do rounds in OPL across the street. And then I drive over to the other 3 buildings, 401, 501, and 601. So doing rounds in 401, I would always feel real eerie and just the hairs on the back of my neck would stand up when I would badge in that building and go to the second floor. One of these times I badged in and went to the second floor, more than usual, I just felt like somebody was watching me. The hairs on the back of my neck stood straight up, and I felt like something was definitely around me. So I kind of write it off. But every time I go back to that same building to do my rounds, the hairs on the back of my neck stand up right when I badge into that second floor. I'm thinking, you know, there was like some kind of electrical charge right there to when I badge in, it something happens. So I don't know. I write it off again. And about a week later, I'm giving an escort to somebody from the housekeeping. I kind of wonder why I have to give an escort to somebody in housekeeping when I normally don't give escorts to anybody in housekeeping at this building. So I talked to my lieutenant, and he says, housekeepers don't like to go into this building alone, and if they do, they want an escort. So right there, kind of my first red flag sent up, and kind of asked him, hey, what's the story? How come they want to have an escort in here? And I'm not telling him that I have feelings of always uneasiness, but I'm kind of asking him not, you know, to see what's going on. And he doesn't really tell me anything. He isn't really that much help. One of the other security guards that I'm friends with says that housekeepers, when they're in that building, they'll hear somebody whispering behind them and they'll turn around and no one's there. They'll be touching stuff on their cleaning cart, walk away, come back, and stuff's missing or it's dropped on the ground. He said some other people will have heard their name being whispered to them. And he says that most of them are real superstitious, so they don't enter the building if they're not with another person or getting an escort. So that right there told me something's up. So a little while later, this is my experience. A little while later, a few weeks later, I enter that same building, 401. I badge in. And let me just give you a little bit more background on that building. No one enters that building my whole graveyard shift because of the housekeepers not wanting to go into that building. So no housekeepers enter it unless they have an escort. And I don't go into that building unless I'm doing my rounds real quick, once in the beginning of the night and then once early in the morning before I go turn in my badge. So a couple times I've entered that building and it was pitch black. I had to turn on the lights, unlike all the other buildings that I go into where the lights are on. So I asked my lieutenant again, you know, hey, how come the lights are off in this, you know, this one building as opposed to all the other buildings? And he said that there's no use to keep the lights on because no one's in the building for 11 until 7 in the morning. So there's no use to waste electricity. So if I'm going to go do my rounds, do it my first hour of my shift, because after that, from midnight till 7, the lights are off. So I started doing that. I would go clock in, say hi to everybody, go over to that first building where I always got a kind of uneasy feel, do my rounds while the lights were still on, and then do whatever I need to do, but hit that building first. So after a little while, on my one experience, that I would kind of get tied up and not really get to go and do that building first, then yada, yada, yada. So this experience happened around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I enter the building, same thing. I feel uneasy. I badge into the second floor, and then I feel that kind of electrical charge, and the hairs on the back of my neck start to stand up. And, of course, now the lights are off because it's 2:30 in the morning. And I watch a lot of, when I'm doing my rounds, I'll watch videos via my iPhone. I'll like watch wrestling on my phone, and I'll kind of be looking at my cell phone as I'm walking through the floor. And I badge in, I'm watching this kind of wrestling match. I'm kind of holding my phone in front of me, and I walk through the floor. I enter the kitchen. I turn the lights on in the kitchen. I grab a glass of water and I'm sipping it. And as I'm turning around, I see 3 chairs in front of computers that all have been knocked down. And I figure that's kind of odd, because if housekeeping was in the building, they would have moved chairs and vacuumed and then moved them back. They wouldn't have knocked them over. So as I'm walking out of the kitchen, I see three other chairs adjacent to where those other chairs are, and there's now six chairs all knocked down on the ground. And I'm kind of looking around, you know, like, is there anybody else in this building? And I walk over, I look at another row, and it's six more chairs down. I look at another row, six more chairs knocked down. It's completely black because the lights are off. So I start turn on the lights, and as I go through the whole floor, every single chair is knocked down. So I make a call, you know, hey, you know, 363, is, has anybody been in this building anytime tonight? Or has anybody given an escort earlier today? And everything was negative. So I started kind of getting freaked out. Every single chair had been knocked down, so I kind of made my way back to headquarters, and I talked with my boss, and my boss kind of came clean about why I was the new driver. The old driver had badged into the same building and seen an orb right in front of him that had disappeared into about five steps away from him into thin air. And the guy quit, and my boss asked me, I guess that same day, if I wanted to become driver. And unbeknownst to me, I would have never taken that driver position if I knew why the previous guy had left. But, you know, it's maybe not that much of a ghost story, but that is my only ghost story, that something had happened in that building that had knocked everything down, and I always had an eerie feeling about that building. And when I finally asked, you know, another manager, I got the story of why I was now the driver. So I wasn't the driver that much more longer. I kind of got out of there, but that is my ghost story. And yeah, love the show. Keep it going.
How many jobs are transferred because of something like that? And they don't really say why. Oh, yes. Wow, I wasn't expecting this promotion today.
Yeah, I bet you it's more than you realize. I was going to ask if it's poor form to ask why the last person left the position.
I think traditionally, no.
Okay.
I don't think it is. But I think it's a kind of a judgment call where you have to kind of take into account who you're asking that to and how they're going to take it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think it's actually probably a good thing, because if you're asking it more so with the intent of, well, what can I do to make sure that I do a job that you're happy with,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I don't end up being that person that's suddenly and quickly replaced.
Yes.
You know, that's usually the intent. Don't be freaked out by ghosts, I guess, would be the answer. But I hope you're totally cool with that. Great stories. I'd imagine that night watch people have a lot of these unexplained experiences.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine a lot of the stories never actually get told, though, either.
There's something to be said when housekeeping won't go take care of an area without somebody with them. You know that it's not just an isolated incident here and there. It's an ongoing deal.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many... how many ghost stories, like the managers of like a night watch company or a cleaning service that goes in at night, like corporate type cleaning,
mm-hmm.
you know, that go in the middle of the night and does the housekeeping and cleaning stuff. How many ghost stories they have from employees who have left because of that, but never are never able to share these stories.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. How do you share something like that? There's confidentiality.
Exactly.
Then, you know, it's kind of like, wow, I've got so many good stories, but I can't share any of them.
You could share them here on the show anonymously. I mean, if you want to do that, you could certainly do that. We'd love to hear them. Those are always fun. It always puts a really interesting picture in my mind's eye when I hear those stories.
But don't risk your job.
Don't risk your job. No. But if you want to do it anonymously, let us know. We can certainly accommodate that so you can get him off your chest. Let's do one more call on today's show, 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, I just was looking through podcast for paranormal stuff, as mine are all about 4 days old, wanted something new to listen to while I was working. Anyway, I came across your podcast, and I really liked it. I just wanted to let you know that before I told you my story. So I grew up in outside of Pittsburgh in a very small town called Wall. And you can find it if you search for Wall, PA. It's right next to another town called Wilmerding, which is where Westinghouse built a castle and had his original air brake factory. So it's an old town, lots of history, but it's really the middle of nowhere. And I was about, I want to say 16, 17, 18, something like that. I don't know if I was quite out of high school yet, but it was summertime. And I was at my best friend's house, and my two best friends, Kevin and Dave. And we would always hang out together. And sometimes we'd stay up all night, sometimes just chilling. And that night in particular, we wanted to, get some pot and maybe, smoke and find something. And we couldn't find anything. We couldn't find anybody to hang out with other than ourselves. So we just retired to sitting on Dave's porch and smoking cigarettes and just talking. About 3-4 o'clock in the morning, we started telling ghost stories that we heard growing up. And these weren't firsthand ghost stories that we had experienced anything weird, just stuff that our parents, uncles, friends, we heard on, wherever. We just told these different stories that we had heard. And from my point of view, it was, about 3:30, and, I had gotten up just stretched from sitting on the concrete porch, and I lit a cigarette and started walking towards sidewalk. Now Dave's street was a very narrow street, cars parked on both sides, and then there were the same Western Pennsylvania company stack, really small space in between the houses, houses on each side. At the bottom of the street was a dead end that led to a train yard, and there was a park back there. The other one led to the main road, where there is a parking lot and some businesses. And so it was sort of a dead street other than the people that lived there. And so I start walking down towards it, and I look up at the street lights, and immediately I'm enveloped in this green light. And it wasn't like, when a flashlight shines on you and you get, shined on. It really felt like I was covered in this light, like it was a blanket of light. And the next thing that I remember is turning around to my friends to say, "What the fuck was that?" They say to me, they're like, "Wow, what was that?" And I noticed that my cigarette was gone. Now I had lit it before looking up. And I walked back to the porch and sat down, and we all sat down and sort of just stared at each other. And I looked up, and I noticed that the lights were on in the house. And I thought that was odd because, at that time of night, like, the reason why we were on the porch was because his parents were sleeping, because they had to work the next day. We start to tell what we saw, the green light and everything, and we're finishing each other's sentences, and we could just tell, looking at each other in the eyes, we were all experiencing the same weirdness. And so I said, let's go inside. It looks like your parents are already up. And so we go inside, and I notice that it's really cold inside of Dave's house. And he doesn't have air conditioning. It's July in Western Pennsylvania, which is hot and sticky, and all night. So you're not cold even when it's dark. And I also noticed it was a lot brighter outside than I remember it being, especially for 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, which is what I thought it was. So we go walking into the living room, and we look around, we see all the lights are on, and we shut those lights off, and I said, "Did you turn these lights on before you came out?" And Dave's like, "No, I don't remember. I don't think so. Maybe my dad got up. I don't know." And we notice we smell breakfast that had been cooked. And we go to the kitchen, and there's dishes, 30 dishes. And it just is obvious, and someone took something, you know, breakfast, basically. We come out into the living room, and, you know, it's obvious that, you know, Dave's dad's boots are gone, and I said, you know, maybe Dad worked early today. That's weird. And so then we look up in the clock above the TV, and we realize that it's really 9 o'clock in the morning. So we lose, like, what, 4 hours? So, I mean, if it was 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, that's a few hours. And we're like, maybe the clock's wrong, you know, put the news on, that kind of thing. Well, just when we're talking about the time, we hear boom, 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 like a grown man with boots on is running up the stairs, and then boom! Now, David's basement was always locked. The only thing down there was storage and washer or dryer. The reason it was locked is because the basement door didn't have a lock, and Dave's dad was like, you know, if someone breaks in, they get in the basement, they can't get in the house. So we're like, what the fuck was that? And Dave's like, I don't want to look. And I was like, we have to look. We have to see. I was like, is there somebody there? If there is, you know, we have a gun. Stop fucking around, you know. And we didn't, but we just wanted to scare whoever it was. We were trying to sound like older and like make our voices lower, and you know, so we start messing with the door, and we open it, and there's nobody there. And we turn on the light, and we look down the stair, the basement, and Dave says, "You know what? I'm gonna go down there." And Dave's like 6'5", even though we're like 16, 17, he's a big dude, and figured he could hold his own. So he goes downstairs, he looks around. Comes back upstairs, there's nobody down there. It's empty. He goes, the basement door's not open. There's nobody down there. All the lights are off. We're like, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, when Dave comes upstairs and he's telling us this, we hear, you know, this loud rap music and like really heavy bass, and it's all coming from Dave's bedroom. And we're like, what the hell, dude? Do you have a timer set on your radio? He goes, I have an old radio. I don't have the timers on it, you know. Is I play my CDs through a Walkman and an auxiliary cable. My radio's from the 70s. And so we go upstairs and we look, and it is this old radio. And I remember seeing it in this room a million times. And it's, you know, so we go upstairs, and, you know, his door's closed, and we're, like, behind each other. It's sort of funny, you know, to think about it. And now, later, because it's sort of like a, you see on TV shows, you know, arm by arm going upstairs. And we have, like, various things that we think are going to protect us, like a golf club and a tire or a fire poker and a baseball bat. And we open the door, and as soon as we open the door, the music stops. And Dave claims that the music that was playing was from a CD that he doesn't have, even though it was a group that we all knew he liked called the Insane Clown Posse. And we're like, meh. I don't know if I really believe that it was music he didn't own, but I know that it couldn't have played by itself. And I definitely heard it, which was super, super weird. So we go back downstairs, and when we go back downstairs, all the lights are on again. And we're talking about a span of like a minute. Like, we weren't up there very long. Like, the music stopped, we looked around, and we were like, that's so weird. And we come back downstairs. And again, it's super cold upstairs, and all throughout the house, like cold. And you know, so we come downstairs, lights are on. What the hell? The lights are on again. And then we noticed that all of the paperwork that was Dave's mom's paperwork that was on the kitchen table or the dining room table, I'm sorry, was all thrown all over the place, like just everywhere. And I dude, your mom's gonna lose her mind. Like, that was probably in some sort of an order. And he's like, I don't. And I'm like, what the hell? So we get all the stuff, and we pile it back up on the table, and I'm just like, hey, she's gonna lose it on you. You know that, right? But we're like, what happened to this? So we sit down in the living room again, and we're just like, we gotta calm down. We're freaking ourselves out. This can't be this stuff. This must be just because we stayed up all night. You know, there's gotta be some explanation for this. And just then, we hear this deep growling scream. Like, like you hear like a metal band scream. And it sounds like it's coming from outside. So we open the front door, and it gets louder as we open the front door. We go out in the front porch, and it stops. And I'm looking around, and Dave has this neighbor across the street, and he comes out. And he's like, what are you kids screaming about? You know, there's people trying to sleep. And we're like, we didn't scream. And he goes, yeah, you know, just be quiet or you're in trouble. And, you know, he's like, I have to work in a couple hours and, you know, stop messing around. And I noticed that there's a couple other neighbors who are looking out their windows. So we're not the only ones that heard that scream. However, the scream stopped as soon as we came outside. And then we go to go back in, and again, it's cold inside of Dave's house. And so we all sit down and I'm like, dude, put on a comedy, put on a movie, put on something so we can just like get our minds off of this. And we fall back to sleep, and we get up a few hours later to all the house lights on again. So when we were asleep, the lights turned on. Nobody else was there. Dave didn't have a brother or sister. Mom and Dad, we checked the bedroom when we were upstairs. They weren't home. We didn't think they would be because they should have been at work. It was a strange thing. And then from that day on, you know, Dave had said that, you know, at night he heard walking around in his room when he was sleeping. And he would see shadows out of the side of his eyes. But he always felt like he was not alone in that house. So that's my ghost story. That's the weirdest, craziest paranormal thing that's ever happened to me. And I have no idea to this day what it was, what the green light was, what any of those experiences were, and why it had suddenly happened that night.
Seems very bizarre.
It does. At first, with the green light, I thought it was going to go, you know, UFO on us.
Sure.
But the other stuff sounded very much ghostly, poltergeist-ish kind of stuff.
What I was picturing was kind of funny. It was kind of like something from like the Great Outdoors of the men like ready to attack whatever it is with the pokers and all of that. Like, we're gonna get it, you know.
Yeah.
What are you thinking at the time other than I gotta get whatever this is? You know, it seems to be somewhat paranormal, but just in case. Joker, you know, but very interesting story. That was a well-told one. Thank you for calling in and sharing that that ghost story with us. Really do appreciate it. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you like the show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. And you'll get those bonus episodes, video content, all sorts of great extras when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.